Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And we've got an amazing show today. After today's show, you're going to think about yourself totally differently. That's right. That's what you're going to take away. We've got some challenges for you today. We want you to think about the blind spots you may have in your outlook, your politics, your sense of history, your racial prejudices, all of that. You may not see these. They are blind spots, right? But they're there, and they may have implications on how you choose to live your life. We're also going to explore the risks of leaving the job force to stay at home and raise kids. And through the blind spots of deep space, we're going to look at some evidence of the oldest light and energy in the universe, left over from the Big Bang. But first, this week, President Obama is in Israel and the West Bank.
Just as we have for these past 65 years, the United States is proud to stand with you as your strongest ally and your greatest friend.
President Obama speaking to Israelis there, and there was a visit to Ramallah in the West Bank, where expectations over any changes for the lives of the Palestinians were muted. The language often repeated hopes for some kind of peace settlement, but very little more. With us is Rashid Khalidi, author of most recently Brokers of Deceit, How the U.S. Has Undermined Peace in the Middle East. He's a longtime Middle East scholar, teaches at Columbia University. Rashid Khalidi, welcome.
Thank you, John.
So let's begin with what language you're looking for or expecting, really, from Barack Obama, because the story you tell in your book suggests that the president had aspirations to take a different path in seeking peace in the Middle East and was abruptly shunted back to the path that you say America has been following really since the 1980s.
That's right. Like every one of the last six presidents except George W. Bush, President Obama came into office trying to widen somewhat the restrictive terms that Israel has more or less imposed with American support since the end of the 1970s. And he failed. So my expectations were and are quite low as far as this trip is concerned. The whole structure that has been built up over this time is based on a scheme devised by Menachem Begin, the agreements in 1993, everything that has been built up, the Palestinian Authority and so forth, and what is on offer to the Palestinians is under a very low ceiling, which is really not one designed to lead to peace. It's designed to avoid friction between the United States and Israel, and it's designed to let Israel really continue with uninterrupted expansion of settlements and doing things that are fundamentally contradictory to any idea of a two-state solution.
And if expansion of the settlement program was a stated policy objective back in the Begin years, it would have been extraordinarily controversial. Today, it just seems like standard domestic policy. What happened?
Well, what has happened is that these repeated defeats of U.S. president, you may remember George H.W. Bush and Secretary Baker standing up to Prime Minister Shamir on this issue. Even President Clinton tried. Over time, basically, the pressure of Israeli stubbornness and the support of the Israel lobby in this country have made occupation and settlement invisible to most Americans. They're not issues that most people are concerned about. You're expected to take them and just accept them, and that's the norm, and one goes from there. And that represents an enormous success, not only for the approach of the sort of greater land of Israel ideology. It represents a success for American diplomats who have constantly and policymakers who have constantly catered to this Israeli red line. And now I think we're in a position where the United States has been for a very long time doing a lot more harm than good. I think the United States has helped to create a situation which has made a two-state solution virtually impossible.
Let's listen to Barack Obama back in 2009 speaking on Fox News, taking a very different position on the growth of settlements in the occupied West Bank.
Additional settlement building does not contribute to Israel's security. I think it makes it harder for them to make peace with their neighbors. I think it embitters the Palestinians in a way that could end up being very dangerous. And it makes it hard to relaunch any kind of serious talks about how you achieve a two-state solution.
How abrupt was the back down from that statement in 2009 and others like it to the statements that we're seeing today out of Israel and the West Bank?
Well, really, a big change followed the results of the November 2010 midterm elections when the Republicans won the House, at which point the president lost support, any support on Capitol Hill for his approach. And as I sort of show, as I try to show in the book, the following 2 years, the last 2 years of the first administration of President Obama were ones of continual retreat from this, to the point that he really ended up in one of his last meetings during his first term with Prime Minister Netanyahu. He ended up talking about only about what Netanyahu wanted to speak about. He never even broached the subject of settlements or negotiations.
Which was commented by Israeli journalists as being something historic.
Exactly. Exactly. I quote an Israeli journalist as saying, as you say, that this has never happened before. So I think that this is my point is that this is a pattern. President after president has seen that this is completely incompatible with any resolution, this continued settlement expansion and other things. And president after president has been forced to back down on this issue.
Are the Israelis in general happy with this situation, this sense of it's never going to change, there will be incremental increases in the settlements on the West Bank, incremental sort of territorial encroachments on the West Bank, but yet never any peace, even as things are exploding in Syria and other parts of the region?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say what all Israelis feel. Many obviously are unhappy with this, but I think you can gauge from the drift rightwards of Israeli politics and the inclusion of the most right-wing party ever to be a member of a government in this latest coalition with the housing ministry, which is the part of the Israeli government that's in charge of building in the settlements, that at least the dominant trend in Israeli politics has been moving consistently rightwards. And this is something that people just don't seem to be taking account of in this country. This is a very different Israel than the Labor Party-dominated Israel of the 1960s and 70s. This is a very different Israel even than the one that Menachem Begin and Yitzhak Shamir headed in the 70s and 80s. It is a far more right-wing, far more ideological Israel. And so I think there have been changes that American policy simply hasn't taken into account, partly because there's never been any pushback from the Arab world. One of the things I try and talk about in this book is it's not just all about Israel's intransigence or the complacence of American officials. It's the fact that there's no pushback from the most important Arab countries, or there hasn't been for quite a long time. And it's partly a function of the division and weakness among the Palestinians. So there's no cost, as it were, to American policy to following this policy that anybody in their right mind would say is just not in service of American interests or in service of peace.
The metaphor outlined by Rashid Khalidi, who's professor of Arab Studies at Columbia University and author of most recently Brokers of Deceit, How the U.S. Has Undermined Peace in the Middle East, certainly helps you to decode the situation taking place in the Middle East right now as Obama visits the West Bank and the nation of Israel. Rashid, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
And perhaps the greatest casualty described in that book is the sense of security of the Palestinians, virtually never mentioned in the rhetoric today. This is The Takeaway.